Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Faithfulness is a bigger deal than people are willing to let on to. I don't know of any person who seeks a romance or marriage where there is not a desire and expectation of faithfulness. I've never met a person who seeks another person who will betray them. Virtually all people have some type of expectation that when there is romance or marriage, that betrayal will not happen. When betrayal happens, when the other person is found to be unfaithful, that can be devastating. In United States politics, the president of the country was once told that if he wanted a friend in Washington, D.C. to get a dog, because in that city with its political motivations, only the dog would be a friend that would be faithful. The people would act in their own political expediency without regard to faithfulness to any person. While that advice was given to the then president of the United States, that's probably good advice for anyone who works within a politically motivated environment. Beyond people and pets, faithfulness is also important to us in the possessions we own. For instance, when we buy an appliance, we probably check the warranty that comes with the appliance and see what type of online reviews the manufacturer has for the particular model we are buying. There is nothing more frustrating than buying something expensive brand new and it not working correctly. Years back, I bought a washer dryer set with advanced features. And while there were some benefits with those advanced features, there were more problems with that washer-dryer set than were worth it. Of all the washer-dryer sets I've owned, it was the least faithful, with multiple service visits with repairs. Sometimes, we need faithfulness in the smaller things in our life. Just a few days ago, I was busy working on my computer in the morning with a cup of coffee when I accidentally knocked over the coffee. Some of the coffee spilled onto the wireless keyboard, and some spilled onto the mouse pad. I quickly turned off the keyboard and dried it off, and then went to get the spilled coffee off the mouse pad. I noticed some had gotten on the underside of the mouse, and I dried that off as well. When all was said and done with the cleanup, the keyboard was working fine, but I noticed a tracking issue with the mouse. Normally with a computer mouse, when it is moved in a direction, the pointer on the computer screen moves in a corresponding direction, but I noticed the pointer was jumping all over the computer screen. If I moved the mouse to the left, the pointer would jump to the right. If I moved the mouse up, the pointer would jump down and then maybe finish in a corner. And that kind of erratic behavior in computers of today would make it unfaithful. Thankfully, all it took to restore function back to the mouse was to clean the optical sensor on the bottom. The coffee spill along with dust from the mouse pad had clouded the sensor, giving the erratic behavior. We expect faithfulness from the people closest in our lives. We rely on the faithfulness of our possessions that these operate as designed. Spiritually, when it comes to God and Jesus Christ, we know they are faithful. We might find ourselves betrayed by the people closest to us, but we will never be betrayed by God our Father and Jesus Christ. From time to time, God our Father and Jesus Christ might allow something we do not expect to happen in our life. But with God our Father and Jesus Christ, even when these unexpected situations occur, it is not because of unfaithfulness. God our Father and Jesus Christ are faithful. Conversely, it is important that we live our life being faithful. If we are faithful with what we are given today, which even though these are important to us, and by comparison they are much less than eternal life to come, God our Father and Jesus Christ can determine if we will be faithful with eternal life to come. If we are unfaithful with what we are given today, God our Father and Jesus Christ could look at that and have questions whether we will be faithful or not. If we want eternal life, It is important to be faithful with what we have been given, whether that is spiritual understanding, people in our life, or things in our life. When Israel wanted a human king to lead them on earth, Samuel gave them all the pros and cons of being led by a person, and then he gave them a lesson in being faithful. He told them to continue to be led by a human king. They needed to remain faithful to God. They needed to fear God and serve Him, obey His voice, and not rebel against the commandments. If they did that, God would establish continuity of the reign. And if they didn't do that, they would find themselves at odds with God and eventually come to nothing. They were told to serve God with truth, with their whole heart. 1 Samuel 12, verse 13. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen, and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand, and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that he may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if he shall do wickedly, he shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Serving God in truth with our whole heart means we serve God being faithful. We are faithful to what is taught in the Bible, and we do what God expects of us as given in the Bible. We do not change the truth of God into a lie because the lie is more convenient or any other reason. We also do not adhere to the truth of the Bible and then live our life in a way that contradicts the truth of the Bible. Eventually, the ancient nation of Israel came to nothing. Sin led to internal strife, and that internal strife led to the division of the country between the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. Both kingdoms went deeper and deeper into sin and were conquered. The modern nation of Israel was established by the United Nations after the Second World War, and while it has its heritage in the ancient nation of Israel, its landmass more resembles the later kingdom of Judah than the size of the original ancient nation. In the time of the divided kingdom, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. He established judges in each city so that matters between people could be settled at the lowest level. The Levites, priests, and civil rulers in Jerusalem would be reserved for more significant matters, much like how most countries work today. He told these people they had to be faithful. They had to fear God with a perfect heart. Much was entrusted to them, and much was expected from them. 2 Chronicles 19, verse 5. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, Take heed what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore, now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, Thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandments, statutes and judgments, you shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord. And so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and you shall not trespass. Luke 12, verse 48 tells us that to whom much is given, much is required. And there is no difference for us today. We have been entrusted with spiritual riches given to us faithfully, and being faithful, we must use and grow those spiritual riches given to us. Beyond those spiritual riches, we have to be faithful with anything entrusted to us. There is never a reason to be unfaithful. In one of the parables, Jesus gave the example of a steward who wasted the rich man's goods. When this came to the attention of the rich man, he asked the steward to give an account of himself, and very quickly the steward settled with those who owed money to the rich man, accepting less than the full amount just to have enough cash to satisfy him, and to try and gain favor with those who owed the money. Even though the steward had wasted his goods, the rich man commended him for acting wisely. Jesus then explained the value of being faithful. He taught that if a person is faithful in something small, they are likely to be faithful in something that is big. He added that a person unfaithful in something small will likely be unfaithful in something big. When it comes to the physical things entrusted to us now, which are very small compared to eternal life in the kingdom of God, we need to be faithful. We cannot expect to act being unfaithful and be considered as faithful by God. Luke 16, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do then, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, How much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Titus was taught by Paul that a bishop was a steward of God, similar to the steward in the parable that we just read. The difference is, a bishop as a steward of God must hold fast the faithful word. What that means is there can be no wasting the word of God. In the parable, the steward wasted the rich man's goods. We cannot treat the truth of God as if it is something that can be wasted. God's truth, biblical truth, is very valuable and cannot be wasted. We do not throw away truth for any reason. We value it and hold on to it even more than we might hold on to a valuable physical possession. If we make the mistake to abandon truth, we also abandon sound doctrine and surrender opportunities to discuss spiritual errors. Titus 1, verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. Not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, nor given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The Psalms tell us that God preserves the faithful. Think of a jar of fruit preserves, which I think of as jelly with fruit pieces in it. I've never known anyone who makes fruit preserves with rotten fruit. When preserves are made, bad fruit is excluded. Similarly, God preserves the faithful, and knowing that God preserves the faithful should give us reason to be faithful and to rely on God. Psalm 31, verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, we are told to not let mercy and truth forsake us. In other words, we must remain faithful to mercy and truth as if these are part of who we are. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Proverbs also asks a rhetorical question about finding a faithful person. Most people will proclaim their goodness, but finding somebody who is faithful can be harder. Through the passage, we can see that being faithful is linked to what we do and whether or not what we do is pure and right. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin? The verse weights and the verse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. We also learn that being faithful takes effort on our part, just like work takes effort. A person who diligently works generally will earn enough to feed themselves, but a person who gets sidetracked from work will earn less because they are sidetracked from work and not earning. Some get sidetracked from get-rich schemes. They might gamble, play the lotto, or get distracted from appeals that promise the opportunity to make large sums of money. Instead of being distracted, we need to remain faithful. Proverbs 28, verse 19. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. If it were really possible to make large sums of money from doing nothing, most people would already be doing that. I've seen ads where people claim to be making enough money to live in resorts at world-class beaches. If that were possible for most people would already be doing it because given the opportunity to work hard for the day-to-day existence many have, or the opportunity to be pampered at a beach resort, most would choose to be pampered. But then think about it. Eventually, even the beach resort staff would choose to be pampered at the beach resort, and then there would be nobody left to pamper anyone. And everyone living the good life at beach resorts would soon need to revert to something much like the day-to-day existence they already have. It would now just be at a beach resort without any resort staff, where all the guests have to do everything for themselves. Be cautious with any opportunity to make lots of money with little effort. Instead of looking to that which will never sustain itself, we need to be faithful to that which will happen. The church in Smyrna, as described in the book of Revelation, was described as a faithful church. They would be persecuted, but they were faithful and reminded that if they remained faithful to death, they would be given the crown of life. Romans 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. When the disciples approached Jesus and asked about end-time events, Jesus plainly told them what could be expected. First, he shared that many would teach about him and would deceive many. Tradition, if it is a lie, can deceive many. Like Satan twisted the words of the Bible when tempting Jesus, any person who twists Bible meaning can also deceive another person. It is important for each of us to know the truth of the Bible that we are not deceived. We must spiritually remain faithful to what is in the Bible. As times become more challenging and concerning events that hint at the end appear, even though others may be deceived by false prophets and grow cold to others, we must remain faithful to the end, whether that is the end of our human life or the end when Jesus Christ returns. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We cannot allow ourselves to think that we can fool God. If we act unfaithfully, God will know and give us what we deserve for being unfaithful. If we act faithfully with God, God will also know and will reward us for being faithful. Being faithful is a lifetime commitment. We can never grow weary of doing good, of doing what God expects of us. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. When we think of being faithful, we think of faith, and many of us will think of the faith chapter in Hebrews. From the Old Testament, we know there were so many who lived a life of faith, and we must live our life with faith, because it is impossible to please God without faith. And faith requires a certain diligence with it, and that diligence is faithfulness, the essence of being faithful. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith without works is like proclaiming oneself to be a person of faith and yet acting in an unfaithful manner. On the other hand, faith with works requires acting faithfully. We cannot claim to be a person of faith or of the faith if what we do is in contrast to what is in the Bible. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. Even a faithful person will sin. But a faithful person always fights sin and never surrenders to sin. Faithful people strive for the faith that was once delivered and endure to the end. We who are faithful do what is expected in the Bible. James 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith, and have not works, can faith save him? a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So many embrace the knowledge that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Fewer people understand that when Jesus came as a human, it was as if light was introduced to darkness, and the people who lived in darkness rejected the light and message of Jesus. Then we are told, those who do truth come to the light, again showing we have to do what is in the Bible. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In addition to the Gospel of John, the Apostle John wrote three letters, and in his first letter showed how we must love not in words, but in what we do. In today's social media world, people see what is said and not done. Use the wrong word or phrase, and in society, a person can be quickly alienated. While we should not offend people when it is not needed to teach biblical truth, we cannot allow ourselves to think that what is said is more important than what is done. John writes that we must love not in what we write or say, but in what we do based on the truth of the Bible. It is when we do what is based on the truth of the Bible that we know we are the truth, that we are faithful. Being faithful is measured not in what is written or spoken, but in what is done. 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemneth not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. Paul showed the truth of God can be changed into a lie, and it begins by holding the truth of God, the truth of the Bible, in unrighteousness. That means a person knows the truth of God and what is written in the Bible, and instead of doing what is in the Bible, they will instead do something contrary to God and what is written in the Bible as it is convenient for them. Instead of giving glory to God and doing what God expects, these people come up with any and all types of reasons why they can reject what is taught for what is convenient. In doing this, they unknowingly reject God. They unknowingly make themselves equal to God. Instead of worshiping God who made mankind after his image and likeness, they worship God after demoting him to be something after their own image and likeness. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We might think that Paul is writing of pre-Christian, pagan religious practices, or even other religions of the world. All we need to do is read the rest of the first chapter to see that Paul is very much talking about a society that seems very much like today's society. Because of that, we must ensure we preserve the truth of the Bible, the truth of God. We can never deceive ourselves into turning it into a lie. We live in a world where the truth of God has been turned into a lie, with all the predictable side effects of a society that thinks it is righteous while rejecting God who is righteous. When society focuses on those things which are unrighteous, we must be focused on those things which are righteous, as if we are playing a game of eternal life and death, where we are down in the score with just minutes to play. We do not give up and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Philippians 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ, we must remain faithful, knowing that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, we have the opportunity to boldly enter into the holiest by living our life faithfully according to the truth of God, which is found in the Bible. We are given this opportunity when in the Old Testament, it was only on the Day of Atonement, that only the high priest could do this, and only after much ceremony. Expected of us is being faithful and to live our life according to the truth of God. We are unwavering in the faith we have. Hebrews 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Being faithful is not an optional accessory for us. Being faithful is a requirement. We faithfully live by the truth of God, doing what is in the Bible. When others change the truth of God into a lie, we reject the lie and embrace truth. As we embrace truth, we live our life as if we are playing the spiritual game of our life. We're late in the game, we are down on the score, and we do not surrender to sin. We press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Jesus Christ, and we do so being faithful. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.